We talk a lot on this podcast about chess improvement, but when it comes to improving your hiring processes, Indeed is the platform you need. Indeed has over 350 million global monthly visitors, and it has a matching engine that helps you find quality work candidates fast. You can use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with your candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Years ago, when I was running a chess teaching business, I found it hard to find good help, and I had to go through a lot of back and forth to even screen potential candidates. Indeed allows you to do those things efficiently in one place. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed for hiring, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of Perpetual Chess will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility if you go to Indeed.com/chess. Just go to Indeed.com/chess right now, and you'll be supporting our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast, Indeed.com/chess. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Perpetual Chess. We are joined by an illustrious guest who we will introduce momentarily. But first, I wanted to give a shout out to our presenting chess education sponsor, Chessable.com. Our guest just played a notable tournament where she had openings including the French Defense, the Nimzo, the Catalan, the Queen's Gambit declined. Guess what? You can learn about all those openings and much more on Chessable. They have so many courses that you can choose from. You can check out some of my personal favorites. I'll link to that in the show description. But I'm super excited to introduce our guest this week, someone I've wanted to interview for a long time, and now more than ever, because she is coming off of an incredible performance in the 2023 Cairns Cup, where she was the lowest rated player in the field, but won the tournament with a round to spare, securing a Grandmaster Norm. She's also a four-time U.S. women's champion, a former Ukrainian women's champion. She is originally from Ukraine. She's a perennial U.S. national team member, and I am excited to welcome Anna Zatonsky to the show. Welcome, Anna.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here. Very nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, super excited to chat with you, because, Anna, on this podcast, I have the privilege of interviewing many accomplished professionals like yourself, but I also interview a lot of amateurs who are trying to get better at chess. I'm in my 40s. You're in your 40s. We know it doesn't get any easier as the years go on. And you had this standout performance against some of the best woman players in the world. Did you have a sense going into this tournament that things might go your way?
No, okay, it's my go my way, but not that I didn't expect, of course, to take first place. And even top three would be like a dream for me. Yeah, because I had extremely difficult year. I lost so many points and rating points, and I was so happy to get back and to play my like good chess like I played 10 years ago. Now my rating is very low, but I used to be 2500, 2537. And I'm very happy to play as good as I played, let's say, 10 years ago. So like quality of chess, it's, yes, very, very good.
And did you, and we've all been there, by the way. I mean, I think that ratings might be going down across the board, at least at the non-elite level. But nonetheless, it's frustrating. Anna, did you do anything special to prepare for this tournament?
Okay, I didn't do much because I have two kids and a lot of work at home. And before this tournament, I did only training calculation skills. I was, okay, repeating my openings, but mostly focused on solving some puzzles and study endgame studies.
Okay, and so what was your source for the endgame studies?
this was I think some I have old book. It's like Vladimirov. It's 1001 chess study, and you can find Okay, I likened the game study, but sometimes they were artificial, right? And but this book goes like two pieces versus two pieces, like two white pieces versus two black pieces, and it goes like two with a three, and it goes, I think, up to seven for one side. I'm not sure actually, because I didn't solve this. Is already I already solved all studies from this puzzle book years ago.
But you went back and did it more?
Yes. Okay, I did it like 10 years ago or more. And of course, I don't remember all solutions there. Sounds okay. Familiar, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, it looks vaguely familiar. So how much time were you able to do? Are we talking an hour a day, 3 hours a day, as you did?
Definitely more than an hour a day. And it also depends. But sometimes, like, say, I got a call from school that kid is sick and you have to go to pick him up. And okay, the goal was 5 hours, but not every day I managed to do it. But 2-3 hours, yes, I was trying to do it or more.
Okay, and if I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your tournament preceding Cairns Cup was the World Rapid and Blitz. Did you have anything in between, maybe like a league game or anything like that?
I played a tournament in Norway. I played American Cup, all of them without big success.
Okay, so you've been
in Norway, very nice tournament, and I played also in a league, an Austrian championship, and I played for German team one game in Belgium for my Belgium club Wiersfeld, and in Netherlands.
This
but
was
everywhere,
all this...
just cup, yes, but just one or two games.
Okay. So when you do start to ramp up and start to spend, you know, sometimes 5 hours a day on endgame studies, like how far in advance of Cairns Cup did you start to do that?
Good question. Maybe a month or more.
Okay.
But I would start planning, and I was like trying to analyze what I was doing wrong over the last year, why my rating dropped as that much. Yes, because I like last year I was over 2400, and now like beginning this tournament I was 2327, I believe, right?
Right.
So I was like trying to change something in life, change something in routine, trying to think maybe more positively, more focused. Certain things I wanted to cut, certain things to change my beliefs a little bit.
And so when you did this sort of comprehensive review, what stuck out? What, was there anything that you felt that you like?
I did change something. Pegged? I did change something. Maybe it's like a little bit private things to talk. And I believed in myself much more so than I used to do. And like I was working on my self-confidence mostly.
Okay.
So, yes. And when you're getting older, sometimes you're making so many blunders and you stop believing in your calculations and you're playing game. You're afraid to go in some sharp lines because you're afraid of a blunder, one move blunder. And you need to, okay, even if it will happen to you, it will happen in one or two games and the rest you will win. So I need to change this perspective, and also it's requires to change a little bit attitude to life. Also, in everyday life, I should believe more in myself.
That's
was
very...
my feeling, and that I think I changed it a little bit, and like trusting in myself. So it's, I think it's probably also helped me during the chess games.
It's very relatable, Anna. I can definitely understand having those feelings. I encounter them myself. So was your decision to focus on endgame studies and calculation work, was that as a way to boost confidence? And was that sort of targeted based on your assessment of where your game was? Or is that kind of what you would do no matter what?
No, this is also something earlier before I was mostly focused on my openings. And I remember when I was 25 years old, I used to train my calculation skills a lot. Yeah, because back in these years, you didn't have much resources. Now you have Chessable also, which I also use sometimes. And back in old days, it was very easy to calculate. It was something to very easy to focus on. And now I decided to like recall this feeling and do something which I did when I was young. And this was my decision. It was my husband is my coach, and he's helping me a lot with opening, and I'm very thankful to him for this, but like training this calculation, it was my decision to focus on this field before the event, and I think it will help me more than maybe knowledge, like extremely deep knowledge on certain openings.
Okay, yeah. And for listeners, Anna's husband is 3-time German champion Grandmaster Daniel Friedman, so good person to have around the house, right?
Yes, it's very nice. Like before the game, I have a problem in this line, and this line, could you please check it? And I know even if this line will not happen over the board, it's very nice to have this feeling. If this happen, like you are confident, you know what to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. And is your husband, obviously, as such a strong player, he's going to have a good amount of opening knowledge to begin with. But is he particularly well versed in your openings, or will he have to look something up at times if you ask him about one?
Sometimes I'm asking. Yeah, of course, for him it's much easier just to send his own analysis. But sometimes he has to look on certain lines which he is not playing just for me.
Okay. And Anna, getting back to the calculation work you're doing. So 5 hours a day, super impressive for a busy month.
Not every day. It was maybe just, it was a goal.
Yeah. I mean, any day, it's impressive as far as I'm concerned. So let me ask you, are you taking breaks or do you just go straight through? Like what is your approach to sort of...
I'm taking breaks. Unfortunately, I'm taking breaks, but usually when I'm taking break, I use a chess clock. And I just pause. When I go somewhere, I just pause.
Okay. And do you give yourself a certain amount of time per endgame study, or how do you approach that part?
Okay. Usually if I cannot solve it and I'm really frustrated, I think, okay, the half an hour is like absolutely maximum.
Okay.
Maybe even less. If I'm not making any like progress, I have feeling that it goes my way and I'm like about to solve it, then I can think longer.
Oh,
and
wow.
When absolutely, okay, I see it and no idea what's going on. So maybe it doesn't make sense just to look for the board for like 15, 20 minutes.
And obviously you had great results in the tournament. Could you feel that the work made a difference on top of that, like independent of the results?
Actually, I don't know what was like such a huge difference between my performance in comparison, let's say, in US Championship or Cairns Cup. And this is a huge mystery how our brains work.
Right.
And I don't quite understand. And I was trying to, like, during my Cairns Cup, to do everything, like, round after round. Like, exactly the same routine was I had in first round and in last one, unfortunately, not in round number 8.
Like, so what sort of routine did you do?
I was waking her up around 7, 8, and I went for a walk. In St. Louis, there is a nice park, very beautiful and very nice walk. So I was walking there for half an hour. I drank coffee and some sweets. I ate a little bit before the game and during the game also a little bit. I don't know. And then good dinner. Maybe it's not good for diet, but probably was good for chess. I don't know.
Okay. And did your husband and family accompany you, or were you there on your own?
No, I was on my own, yeah.
Okay. And obviously, you've competed with someone like Irina Krush so many times, and I'm sure a lot of the other competitors. Like, what is the balance, Anna, between sort of catching up with these people who are your professional colleagues and them being your competitors in this particular event?
We have a very good relationship with each other, very nice relationship. And you can divide like chess game and like life. So we have like, I have many friends in chess world. And yes, okay. I'm not probably the best friends with Irina, but we like after the game, we were smiling to each other, talking about missing opportunities for both sides. So we have like absolutely normal.
Yeah, and that was a long game.
It was a long game. It was interesting. It was interesting. I could claim a draw 3 moves earlier, but I don't know. I just gave a couple checks. And then I came home and checked what was in chess database, what was my longest game. And my before Irina's game, it was game was as Nazi by Kids, 129 moves. So I beat my record by one move.
So you beat a few records this tournament.
Yes, this is one of them. And I don't know, like I asked my father to check it, but I'm not sure. I think I played the longest game. That amount of moves I made in this tournament was, this was highest, but I need to check it.
Yeah, I read that your four black wins averaged over 60 moves each.
Yes, and like a game with Irina probably will boost this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that shoots the average way up. So obviously something like that requires a lot of stamina, something, as we alluded to, we're both parents in our 40s, that gets harder. How do you approach that aspect? You mentioned going for walks, like I guess 5-hour training sessions are a good start, but do you put any special emphasis on sort of making sure you can play well, like deep into a game?
This I don't know. Like usually I'm playing like all my life, my strong side was concentration during the game. Usually I'm extremely focused. I don't see what's going on around. And if you see my pictures during the game, I have a completely different face expression. So I just like, pictures from St. Louis where after the tournament and during the game. So I'm very focused, but this was in my entire life.
Okay, so you think that's...
I don't see what's going on around and just very focused during the game.
Okay, and even you alluded to sort of having been in a slump prior to that, but your rating going down, it wasn't because you were blundering in the fourth or fifth hour. There were other factors.
No, it was also like I made a lot of blunders. I just didn't see a board. I don't know, like some blunders in calculations and getting tired. There are so many, like just plain worse.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe this is age and I cannot come back. And there is certain age, certain stage where you have to probably stop playing professional chess, right? Or you can play chess, enjoy the game, but maybe you will not play like for Olympiad and various like US championships. And I thought also before the tournament, is it at this point or not? Yet.
Well, it's good that you work hard so that at least you can find out.
I'm very glad, and this is not, and before the tournament I had conversation with my friend who is like much older than me, and I asked him how was his experience, why he was, and if I have a chance, what he thinks, if I will work hard, if I have a chance or if I don't have a chance. And this was very interesting to know.
What did he say?
An older generation. He also said he doesn't know, but like I should like really work hard, yes, and change a lot of things. If I'm ready, if I can work hard, if I'm ready to do it, and if I have energy for this, and these answers, I also didn't have answers, so I tried, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's really inspiring, Anna, and. Was it hard for you to find the motivation to work that hard leading up to this tournament?
Okay, motivation was so that I'm last in the tournament. I don't want to take last place. I don't want to lose many games. I like if you're 100 rating points lower than number 9. Yes, this was motivation for me. I had feeling that St. Louis Chess Club is doing so much for chess players. They treat us like celebrities. And I really wanted to prove that I deserve it. And especially also I had this feeling that they could invite another American player for the tournament. Okay, when I got invited, probably I was number 2 or something, or very close. Yeah, because it was way before. I probably got invitation in December or January. Something like that, and my rating was not that low, was much higher, and or even earlier, I forgot when, probably even earlier, I need to check. Okay. Yes, and this was my motivation. I hate losing. I don't want to lose, and I don't want to come in last place. Yeah. I was thinking, okay, even if in last place, then win a couple games, so a couple draws. So this was my motivation before the event.
And at what point did you start to think about earning a Grandmaster norm?
I was thinking about this norm only after round 8, after 7th game, after I did it.
Okay.
Because I know this can be like, it can put a lot of pressure.
Right.
I've been there before. I missed my GM norms by half of point, not winning last round. I remember in Curacao, I had completely winning position against Alex Shabalov and I didn't win. And also in Lindsborg many years ago, I was there before. So I didn't win in last round, completely winning positions. So I didn't think about this norm at all.
And is also, this... Sorry, go ahead.
I was not sure that I can have norm from 8 games.
Ah, right. Yeah. Which
because
I read
on FIDE, I could not get a norm, but then it was some exception if one player withdrew. Yes.
Yeah, so for listeners, Humpy Kanaru unfortunately had to withdraw fairly early in the tournament, which made it sort of unusual because she played a couple early games that didn't count. Have you ever encountered anything like that before, Anna?
No, not in close tournament.
Yeah. But yeah, in this case, I mean, it was unfortunate for Alexandra Kosteniuk, who of course had beaten her early, but I mean, I guess there's nothing to be done. I mean, people get sick. What can you do?
Yes.
Yeah. But in any event, just an incredible tournament. So you won $45,000, correct?
Yes.
Any big expenditures coming? Are you going to splurge? Do you know what splurge means? Like buy yourself anything nice or buy your family anything nice?
I want to like right now, this is like last day of school vacation. And I went shopping, but I had to buy like so many things for kids. And I was looking, okay, I wanted this dress, but I didn't have time to try it on. So these days were very busy with school, with preparing for our trip for school vacation. And suddenly I became like celebrity. Many people like asking me for interview to annotate games and like everything together. And I just don't know like where to start. So this will be after I will do all these things. I will probably think about my prize. And of course, it's my highest prize in my chess career. Second prize was 3 times less.
Wow. Yeah, it's a nice payday for sure. So is this your first Grandmaster, Norm? You mentioned a couple near misses.
Yes, this is my first one, but actually this is not my best performance. 10 years ago, I had the same average rating tournament. Okay, slightly less, but the same category. And I had 7 points out of 8.
Wow.
In Bundesliga West in Germany for my team, for Bochum, two. And, but I'm not sure, there it was 8 rounds and only two GMs. I'm not sure if it's count like a norm, probably not.
Okay. Yeah, and does getting this norm, does that change your chess ambition at all? Do you now want to chase more norms or just focus on your career?
I still didn't realize yet how this tournament will affect on my chess career. So what do I want to do, like to get to focus to play some GM norm tournaments or play just US Championship, Karen's Cup, Olympiad? It's still a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know yet.
Yeah, it's a lot to process. But you do have the rating, right? Because you were over 2,500.
Yes, I was over 2,500 like for a couple of years, I think. Yes, yeah, so it's like rating is not a problem. And before this tournament, I think, Alexandra and Kanaru had higher rating, maybe Nana Zagnidze, but the rest of the tournament was never in their life so high as me. But on my peak, I mean.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, ratings fluctuate. What can you say? But it is, like I've been saying, I mean, it's so encouraging to see that you had this level before. You redoubled your efforts, you focused, and you showed that it's still there.
You cannot imagine how old generation was supporting me, and I think there is a hope for everyone because I have many friends around my age, and this is so not easy to remain the same level. If you want to remain the same level, you need to work really hard.
Yeah. So Anna, I know you're doing some traveling with your family. You mentioned before we started recording, I should mention, by the way, because this interview won't be out for a while. We're recording on June 21st, just in case something crazy happens in the chess world. I'm going to mention that. So Anna, beyond your family travel time, do you have any, what else is on your chess calendar?
On my chess calendar, I know for sure that US Championship in October, and maybe World Team Championship in Poland.
Okay. And when is that?
In September.
Okay. So you've got
so maybe team championship in Dusseldorf, but I'm not sure about this one.
Okay. So you've got a bit of time to sort of process this big change in your life.
Yes, yes. And
do you think
this
you'll
is
keep
just in this role? I won last year's championship many years ago, and somehow I didn't have like many big successes recently. Okay, so like one Olympiad, I was, I think I played one Olympiad, like I had like the best performance after like five rounds or something similar. I was doing very good on first board, but then it ended up not so good. But for many years, it's such a success for me, and I'm so happy about it.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. So do you think that working on calculation, again, you targeted that as something for your own game, but you mentioned you have colleagues around your age who are also taking inspiration from what you've done. And there's a lot of people listening, and myself included, like I also would like my rating to stop going down. So I'm curious, do you think calculation is generally something that as you get older, you need to emphasize, or is it still too individual to say?
I think we, like my father always told me, you have to like look inside yourself and see what helps you to play better. So I still not like 100% sure if it was just training calculations or something different or anything else. You have to see, you had a good tournament and you have to analyze what you did there.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important. And maybe so what is like comfortable openings, comfortable friends around, or anything what helps you to be in this good shape. Yes, this is very important. And many coaches said, okay, if you didn't play tournaments, just do some tactics before.
Yeah.
Like solving. And also I did tactics from computer as well. So I did
yes, a tactics trainer.
Just tactics. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I was getting.
So this is not bad. This is not bad. If you don't know what to do, just train your tactic skills, tactic calculation. So this is always good before the tournament. For me, it's worked out. And like I said before, I believed in my calculations. And also, even in this tournament, I had some blunders, but it didn't cost me points. Like I missed some stalemate versus Bella Khatinashvili, and yes, I could draw Irina much earlier on move 32, and but still I draw like 100 moves later.
Yeah, I saw the stalemate trick that you mentioned.
God I didn't see this during the game.
Yeah, and I forgot to watch the post-game interview in preparation for this interview. Did you find out like while being interviewed, or how did you find out about that?
I think an interview.
Okay. So for listeners, it's a classic stalemate trick, one of these things where there's a couple pawns on the board, so you wouldn't necessarily expect that Anna's opponent could have sacrificed her rook and escaped with a draw. So yeah,
but funny thing, I have seen this checkmate before, stalemate before.
Yeah
is not something new for me, and I don't know how it happened.
Did you play that move quickly, or did you?
Yes, quickly. I was thinking that I'm winning, and I probably lost my concentration. I'm winning anyway, but any move, and I just didn't see it.
And you didn't know. The worst is when you realize it after you move. That didn't happen, did it?
Yes, can you imagine? I would definitely have something on my face.
Right. Yeah. but luckily that didn't happen. Well, Anna, just an amazing tournament. And as I said, so inspiring. But I would like to discuss a couple other topics if you're up for it.
Sure.
We will be right back with more from WGM Anna Zatonsky. And we are back. You're from Ukraine. You're from Mariupol. Did I say that right?
Yes, from
okay.
Mariupol.
Which has been occupied by Russia, unfortunately, for close, I guess, about a year now. So
yeah, over a year.
Yeah. So are a lot of your friends and loved ones affected? I mean, they must be affected by this.
Yes, my mom died 7 years ago, but my father was able to escape from Mariupol's second day of war. But we have many friends who came to us, and my kids, now adults, of course, with whom I played chess when I was like 10 years old, maybe even earlier.
Okay.
So they were able to escape later. And right now I don't have like, oh, yes, I just maybe one person who's close, who's still in Mariupol, but most of them was able to escape. They live in other parts of Ukraine. Unfortunately, some of them died. And yes, and they move in like some in Israel, some in America, in Ukraine, in Germany. Yes.
That's awful. Yeah, it's got to be a frustrating.
I don't live in Mariupol already for over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
But of course, my parents lived there, and before this this situation with Donbass, when it was like first war there, it was 2004. I didn't go there since then.
Okay.
Because it was so close to this area, which is, yeah.
Which was already disputed.
Yes, which was already like a Donbass.
Yeah.
Donbass area.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your dad is okay. Did he stay in Ukraine, do you mind saying, or...
He's staying with us. He's staying
okay.
Like close. He has his own apartment. His new life already.
Okay. Oh wow! And he's a master level player as well, right?
Yeah, he's master feeder, and yes, he was watching my games, not sleeping. Yes, watching carefully. Probably was very nervous, and we always have this agreement that he will not watch my games. But I think he never.
Yeah, as a mom, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you understand that he can't resist. And what do you think of these discussions about how FIDE should treat Russian citizens and whether there should be a differentiation based on whether they're still playing for the Russian flag? I know that these are complicated topics, but I feel like someone like you, originally hailing from Ukraine, like your opinion should carry a lot of weight.
Okay, first of all, I think Russia should be excluded from any team events. Like no team events for Russia. And this is also mixed feelings. We have like many friends from Russia who immigrated, who was able to escape war. Okay, not war, he was able to escape draft, and who was winning, who is like helping Ukrainians, and how you can ban them from playing chess. I know there's for some GM, he came to like Ukrainian, other GMs, I'm sorry, I cannot look in your eyes. What happened? What is my country doing? I cannot stand it. I will never come back there.
Yeah.
So, you're not supposed, you want to treat such people with respect. You want to let them play chess. Yes. And I don't know. There's like, what is like right solution, but there is a still like, people who is playing with Karyakin in the same tournament, who is like huge supporter of war in Ukraine. So this
yeah.
is just unbelievable to read, to listen what he's saying. I think he should ban from chess forever.
Yeah, I agree. And Irina Bumaga had a post discussing that. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't read, but I think it. I remember it was very, very good post. Yes, I didn't read it like from until the end.
Yeah, it's sad to see. And then you have people like the Muzichuk sisters, who often are not able to play events because there are
Russians. They declined because of like Russian participating. I don't know like what is like rules, like if Ukraine allowed to play or not.
Yeah, I'm not
with Russians in the same tournaments.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but anyway, the bottom line is, it would be great if this conflict could end and we could focus on chess.
Yes, could end. And I think like Russians who immigrate to Europe, who just like trying to change federation badly, who said like, who has relatives and parents in Russia, but still they're saying that they're supporting Ukraine publicly. I think why they should be banned from like chess tournaments.
You think they should not be banned, you're saying?
The people who immigrated from Russia and who publicly support Ukraine probably should play chess, continue playing chess, I think. This is my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, like I know Maria Emelyanova, who's, you know, photographer for chess.com.
Yes, I know her very good.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's devastated by her country's actions. And I know...
Exactly. Of course, she should continue playing chess.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. People like her and many other Russian GMs. And like I said, that there is a tournament where Karjakin organizes this tournament. I think this is a shame to play with in the same tournament with Karjakin.
Well said, Anna. Well, let's move on to brighter topics. So as we mentioned, you have two kids, come from chess roots. Your parents were chess trainers. Your husband is a grandmaster. So we have a question from a Patreon supporter of the podcast, David Lazarus of the Westfield Chess Club. And he's just wondering, as a parent who's a great chess player, how you present the game to your own children, Anna.
Yes, my daughter knows rules, but she doesn't play. But my son began playing this April. Okay, he played before, but online and won a small tournament in Latvia. But now he's very active. He played about 5 tournaments. And yes, like I'm trying to train him, but I'm mom. I think I need to get another coach for him.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. You would think with like, you know, 7-8 national championships between dad and mom, you wouldn't need to hire a chess coach. But often kids, the last person they want to listen to is their own parents.
But I was very surprised that my good friend Carmen was able to explain him. He was listening to her better than me.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, like I'm coaching, I'm telling him what to do, like how to solve puzzles and things like that. But I have feeling that... I will coach to him, but maybe it makes sense to have somebody else as well.
Yeah, but he's enjoying playing and competing.
Yes, he's enjoying. That's what I like. He's, like I said, that he's sitting on the same place more than 5 minutes and thinking. Yes, so this is really something I enjoy as a parent, as a mom, and.
Yeah, it's fun when they carry on the interest.
And let's say he's at home. All kids are very crazy about iPads, about like computer games. And my son is playing chess on computer, so I like it more than some, I don't know, random game versus like shooting games, which I don't like also.
Yeah, for sure. And Anna, obviously, someone with your experience, again, the daughter of chess teachers and accomplished so much as a chess player. Do you have a philosophy about like if your son were to really get into it and say, all right, mom, I'll do whatever you say. Like, what do you think the best way for him to improve would be?
Okay, the best way to improve?
Yeah.
To analyze games and take seriously what I'm saying to him. And think longer than 2 seconds on each move.
That's a good tip.
Maybe
yeah.
2-3. This is yes. Definitely I will remind him to do, and focus better. We will go through some openings because he says he has his own strategy. Mama, you don't know I have a strategy.
That yes. Sounds familiar.
But he's improving. He's improving. Yes, and
that's great to hear.
And actually, we already set up time, so we had a couple lessons. I said, okay, we have this time from 1 to 1:30, but you have to listen. You have to listen to me. I'm not your mom. I'm your teacher, chess teacher. Yes, and it was couple times only, and I hope it's in summer when school is off, we will practice again these lessons.
Yeah.
So we are trying to be like very serious, just a chessboard, nothing else, and I need to remind him so I'm... need to focus.
They're your coach and not mom. That's funny. Yeah. And... Growing up in Ukraine, obviously you were strong from the very beginning, competing in youth championships and so on. So what was your approach Was it what you described, analyzing your games a lot? Like, were you reading a lot of books, Anna?
I was born in Soviet Union yet. We didn't have many books. It's not like in America you can get any book. And we had this chess informator.
So, of course, yeah.
Yes, and I remember I had around me like 20 of them. And I was just writing down, if you want, I can show you how it looks like. I was just recently going through.
Oh, I remember Informators. I was just writing
games, going through games. I was playing French Defense, and I remember Vaganian games or like Oli Drave, Barev, like classical games, go through them and writing them down, and then also go through them, analyzing them. And so this was approach. Computer was a couple years later, was also helpful. And of course, practice. Practice, plain motivation. I had huge motivation, but it's very easy was to get motivated in 90s in Ukraine, mm-hmm. because chess gave me really, really many opportunities in life.
And you figured that out pretty early.
Yes. I was also I was in university studying finance and accounting. But then I understood that with chess, I can achieve much more. Much more, I can travel. And I wasn't even sure that I like it. This was probably the main reason. Also, then in certain point, I decided to focus only on chess.
Okay.
And also, I immigrated to America as a person with extraordinary ability in chess. This also, I'm very thankful to this. And even sometimes... it's so hard to play, and sometimes it's very difficult to be competitive with chess players. I'm still very thankful for what chess gave me in life.
Well said, Anna. And what contributed to your decision to immigrate to the United States?
I don't know. Like, it was so many years ago. It was decision in 2001. Yeah, better life, better possibility to play chess. And
there have been some epic stories told here on Perpetual Chess of people who emigrated from the former Soviet Union. Grandmaster Kaidanov and Grandmaster Yermolinsky have described sort of just, you know, showing up. Maybe they know a chess player or two. Maybe they have a few hundred dollars in their pockets, but just having to figure out like an entire new life. And those stories are some of my favorites that get told here. So I'm curious, Anna, like, how much do you remember of your first days here?
First days, I was very surprised. And I remember first couple months, I was very unhappy because, okay, like without parents, and this is not easy. It's not like you came in America and you get everything. You got nothing. You have no money and like nothing. And working hard, like learning language. I remember I was like trying to find job. And because like I knew English, but not very good. And this was English from school and maybe like some sort of British English. And I called and the person answers. And I didn't understand anything. I was like, what? What did you say? I was like such a frustration, I was so upset, I remember. And like first years, it was not easy for me. And then I was like playing chess, like teaching chess. And then it was.
And you said you were 22, 2001. Is that correct?
No. In 2001, I was 2001, it was decision to immigrate to America, but I immigrated in 2002.
Okay.
Yes.
And did September 11th enter into the decision? Did that make you more nervous about
scary.
It?
I got really scary.
Yeah.
No. A decision was before September 11th. Yes.
But did it give you thoughts?
Second thoughts? I was scared, and I have never seen anything like this. But back in Ukraine, we didn't have we had internet, but maybe it wasn't so scary as in America by like watching TV. Like being witness of such events.
Okay. And what was so you described when you came to the United States, it's a struggle to get a job. You're not confident yet in your English. What job did you ultimately first get?
Just any job. I was looking at any job. And then But when I immigrated to America, I think I played one Olympiad for Ukraine.
Okay.
Like one Olympiad, I came back, like played Olympiad for Ukraine, and I was like so scared of this new life. But then I make decisions that I really want to start new life here in America. And I played a tournament in Lindsborg. Michael Korenman was organizing it, and I was later working there for their for his chess school. And then it was a program for American team. We were training hard. The goal was to get medal, and it was easy. It was some motivation. I knew that I could continue playing chess, that I can. I met good friends in New York, and it was very good, very important. Like Susan Porgel organized this program with Kasparov Chess Foundation, I think. Okay, anyway, like Kasparov was around, like coaching us, was which also was huge motivation for me to.
Of course, yeah. I'm longtime friends with Jennifer Shahadi, and
Was part of the team,
exactly.
And also I was staying with her. And it was such a new experience. I remember she asked me a question, which cuisine do you like? But for a person from Ukraine, you just don't understand this question. Like, what do you mean, which cuisine? We didn't have like possibility to have different cuisine back then.
Right.
And many things like American life was a new experience for me. And yes.
Amazing. So once you got to try all of the sort of different ethnic foods, which one did you like?
I like Asian food.
Yeah.
I like, this is my favorite, maybe Thai food. I like Indian too, like most, like this part of the world I like.
We will be right back with more from WGM Anna Zatonsky. And we are back. And now, Anna, because you're husband is a German citizen and German champion. You spend a lot of time in Germany too, correct?
Yes. I'm still in America a lot, but I miss America. And this is kind of, I don't like person of the world.
Yeah. How's your German?
Should be better. I am able to speak with people, but when like I have to write something, like my husband writes for me, and yes, it must be better.
And how old were you when you started to spend a lot of time in Germany? Sorry.
So this was also okay. My daughter was not like quite healthy, so we was like spending like in many different places. Even in Ukraine, we had like some clinic, like trying to resolve some issues with her health. So I cannot really say, because like I was like going back in Ukraine because I had like connections there, and she could not walk for a while, and she has some weak muscles now. It's much better. Now it's really, we have a lot of improvements in that field. So it's hard to say. So life changed when you start having kids. Life changed dramatically. Probably it's for everyone. I'm not, especially for women.
Yeah. My wife says that it's when our kids were born, it was like a little piece of her was gone and was like put in the kids. You know,
this is true. And also like my life, it's also like two parts of the line. When this like first child was born and everything before, it was different.
Yeah.
Now I'm recalling and you're asking me questions and things I even don't remember. This is like two parts of the life.
Understandable. Well Anna, this is
maybe I will have third one after winning Karen's Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the rebirth. We have one more question from a supporter of the podcast, Rana, and this one relates to women's titles. Our friend Jen, of course, has an FAQ answer to questions about women's titles on her website because she gets frustrated that she gets asked about it so often. But this is from Brian Karen, who's a strong chess player and not a beginner. He's not saying, why do women have titles? His question is whether he thinks the women's grandmaster title in particular should possibly have like a different title because it can be confusing for outsiders. Do you have an opinion on this?
I don't have opinion about title, but I can say there is definitely something different in our brains with men. Mm-hmm. This must be something why men like have better results. There is definitely something. Okay, women is much better multitasking, and chess is just one thing you need to do from morning to the evening. So I don't know how our brains work. And this is very interesting. This is very interesting. And I think we should have like probably different titles, because in every sport they have different titles. Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know why. I think the gap will get more narrow between like men and women chess. Maybe someday we will play better. But now things are that men are just stronger in chess. And also this is, I think it's like physical sport. I don't know how many pounds I lost after a game versus Irina.
Right.
So yeah. This is also very physical, and men are stronger physically. Yes. And the title for women, probably we need to encourage more girls to play in chess. And it's still not easy to achieve a woman grandmaster title.
Yeah, I'll read you Jen's answer on her website, and you can tell me if you agree with this. And I think it'd also be helpful for the listeners, because I know there's always there's a lot of obviously seasoned chess fans listening to this podcast, but there's always people with a new interest in the game. So Jen writes, FIDE offers both the women's grandmaster and grandmaster title, the latter being a gender neutral title that all genders are eligible for, with 40 women achieving the GM title so far. Both correspond to high levels of chess competence, with GM requiring a 2500 rating and WGM 2350. Chess is an international game.
I think 23, not 2350.
Oh, okay. I'll have to tell Jen. Chess is an international...
I need to check on FIDE now.
Okay, yeah. You can check while I'm reading if you want, because we've got a few more lines. Chess is an international game, and women face different challenges to pursue mastery. Many women are justifiably proud of achieving WGM and its high relative rating and celebrate accordingly. Still, these titles cause a lot of confusion, and I rarely use mine in my own promotion. Could they even limit female ambitions by a false equivalency? I don't think so, because chess players are obsessed with rating and very aware of the difference between 2300 and 2500. And Jen says, my ideal solution would be to gradually merge the IM title, which is a gender neutral one, and the WGM title, so that a woman can decide which one to display. And she says, similarly, the FM and WIM titles could be merged. What do you think of those suggestions?
I don't know. So maybe it's a good idea, because it's like IM is very close to woman grandmaster title. And I don't know. It doesn't upset me to have woman grandmaster time, but a gender neutral also, I think, possible.
Yeah. Well, we want you to get the GM title anyway, Anna, now.
Yes, I want and wanted to.
Yeah. You've got to do it for all us 40-year-olds, us 40-somethings.
You know, like, even like 30 years old, they're like coming to me and say like, wow, you're just example. I think you're 32. Why you are saying this? You're so young.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way the chess world is changing, I can understand being 30 and feeling old, you know? And yes,
especially like playing US Championship. So we have so many strong girls under 20.
Yeah, which is a good thing, you know. And
yes. But when you're playing, you're feeling like I'm so happy that Irina is playing and playing very good and in the same tournament for so many years.
Yeah, she's doing great. And Anna, so you've got a bit of downtime before your next tournaments. Do you think, like, will you carry the momentum and keep training, or are you going to take a little break?
I want to keep training. Unfortunately, after the tournament, I didn't have time. And even if it's school vacation, I will try to find time to keep. Yeah, because I think it's very important to keep like brain exercise.
Yeah.
So I think this really helps. This really helps. And one of the reasons why I dropped so many points, maybe I just didn't do enough work.
Okay. So more endgame studies, or do you think you'll switch it up?
I would probably go like through like real end game study, like some theoretical end games.
Okay. Yeah, yes, you had a lot of end games in there.
And this is like so many good books. And before the tournament, I had like 1 day training session with Tatjana Brakhamyan and Kostya Kavutsky. We did some Dvoretsky books.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So this one is a really good one. I want to buy and go through this book.
The end game manual?
No, that's reassess your opponent's...
Recognize your opponent's resources.
Recognize, yeah. Yes,
yeah.
This one.
So many good ones. Well, Anna, again, thanks for the inspiration. Do you have anything to add before we say our goodbyes? It's been.
Yeah, I'm very glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you for the interview. And I don't know. I'm not good in speeches. I didn't prepare well. So maybe there is something I need to also learn.
No, you've done great, and thank you. We'll definitely be rooting for your continued success, Anna. It's been great to chat.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ben, and thank you everyone for listening. And good luck in chess. Enjoy your game. So this is, I think, the most important part.
Sports Social Podcast Network.